Mary had a little lamb, its fleece was white as snow, and everywhere that Mary went, the lamb was sure to go.
Edison, mixing up the medicine, messing up time from Accrington to Amazon. See them all come with the wires and boots and their itchy little thumbs saying, play a funky drum.
Each jump in the dark, we claim as our own.
The bar, poor Gus Dudgeon lying in his car, down in the basement, messing with the moment, alchemy and elements, smashing up your instrument, old Thomas Edison, mixing up the medicine, messing up time from Accrington to Amazon, see them all come with the wires and boots, and their itchy little thumbs saying, play a funky drum. Flashlight, sorting out the copyright. Takes a little time, but the contract's airtight. Which came first, the chicken or the egg? The money's in the black, but the needle's in the red.
One, two, check. Wednesday, Wednesday, Mississippi. Yeah. Check.
Old Thomas Edison, mixing up the medicine, messing up time from Accrington to Amazon. See them all come with the wires and boots, and their itchy little thumbs saying, play a funky drum.
You've probably seen a bumper sticker that says, kill your television. Don't bother. Corporate-dominated television and radio are busy killing themselves.
What you just listened to was a track by Chumbawamba that was the Wizard of Menlo Park.
Yeah, little known fact, Chumbawamba are in fact an amazing band.
Very little known fact.
But completely true.
Yeah, I'll chime in and agree with Cap. It actually took a little bit of convincing because I was like, no, fuck them. They suck. They only have that one song. It's about like getting drunk and passing out. It's lame. I mean, I like getting drunk and passing out, but that's not a way to base a music career. And little did I know, yes, it is. And also that they didn't do that.
Yeah. They're actually a group of anarchists. During the phase of the Tub Thumper song, they were part of a genre that's kind of fading into obscurity now called trip hop. But now they do punk rock, folk rock. And
they're still around.
They're still active. They just released an album called ABCDEFG, either early this year or late last year.
Hard as shit to alphabetize that album.
They're amazing. And this particular song is a diss track about what a schmuck Thomas Edison was.
Nice.
It's a known fact at this point. The much lauded inventor, Thomas Edison, was in fact a complete and utter douchebag. And
History fact.
I was actually taught that in college even. I was in a film class. And it's like the film class started with, let me tell you about Thomas Edison.
Asshole.
He's a douchebag and he didn't invent filmmaking.
Totally didn't. Yeah. Or the light bulb that had been around for ages.
So this is our SciTech section, and we're going to take it old school. because of the Tesla-Edison debate, because of that conflict that those two geniuses had,
mm-hmm.
we're going to talk about what a complete douchebag Thomas Edison was.
Well, first I want to say that Tesla is awesome. Not only did he invent Atomic Robo, but he had this horribly tragic death because Edison had gotten all the credit, and he died alone in, like, a motel room and in love with a pigeon.
Yeah.
And with no money.
And there's John. Our SciTech section must have started.
No.
Play the theme song.
Science.
Brian, will the pigeon be in Robo?
No.
Is the pigeon Robo's mom? I have to know now.
I mean, I have some crudely drawn fanfic in Crayon. Of
good.
The pigeon and
having sex with Tesla,
yes.
And a robot was born.
Yes, yes. I've been mailing them to you. You don't respond.
Actually, I forget. It's been so long because I've been working so far ahead on this one. I swear we make a reference to the pigeons in one of these issues.
That's awesome. That's great, actually.
So, Brian, when was the first time you learned that Thomas Edison was a complete schmuck?
Back when I was first doing research for Robo. And we were trying to come up with our own fictional, you know, inventor guide to have made him. And then our research inevitably led to Nikola Tesla. And it was like, well, okay, we can't make up a guy more believable than this. We'll just use him. Looking up Tesla, you know, invariably you're going to run into stuff about Edison. Edison's a jerk. I mean, it's just that's the connection. I mean, as soon as you look up Tesla and you see the word Edison related, and then you click on the next link on Wikipedia, because that's the only method I use for all my research, because it's 100% accurate at all the time. You click on the thing for Edison, it's like, huge asshole. And I'm like, well, okay, Wikipedia, you got it.
Describe some of the greatest evils of Thomas Edison.
Well, he was a creep, right? He was in love with his dead mom and trying to, like, get her on the necrophone.
Yeah, that's also Dr. Doom.
Yeah, it is actually Dr. Doom.
Wait, hold up, I actually haven't heard this one.
You haven't heard this?
No, tell me about this one. This sounds like a good one.
Do it, Mikey.
Dr. Doom or Edison? Because I think, yes, Brian knows more about both.
Is Dr. Doom Edison?
I've always thought that the weird science part of Doom was based on
the science and the fascination.
Yeah, Nikola Tesla is obviously a archetype for pretty much every mad scientist or just super genius character in pop culture.
Yeah.
Reed Richards is very much a Tesla figure.
Except with the shit together.
Yeah, except he actually makes money.
Yeah.
Although Tesla makes money too, he spends it. Anyway, but the point is that his rivalry with Dr. Doom, once they introduced that, because it wasn't part of Doom's first appearance, they go more in depth in it a few issues later. Doom's whole thing is that he meets Reed like years before in their college years. And Dr. Doom is trying to build this thing to contact his dead mother. He's trying to build a necrophone.
Yeah.
Edison sort of went through this very same exact line of inquiry. He tried to build a spirit phone. He believed heavily that there were energies and that you could, you know, therefore theoretically manipulate them, detect them, and so on.
How far did he get with this? I mean, obviously it didn't work, but I mean, what kind of machine did he produce?
Or did it?
I see. That's my counter point, everything. Sir.
Actually, there's a magazine article linked at atomic-robo.com about Edison's, some of his work in the necrophone.
Didn't he just put one of those ear horns they made, like, up to a dead person, and then, like, put one of those, like, chimney flutes in their mouth and just kind of expand their chest and detract it so they would speak?
No,
just...
that's Princess
Bride. No, that's really stupid.
I mix up Princess Bride with that all the time.
He would take that phone and he would shove it into a grave.
That's it?
That's it. That's how it works. That's science.
I love science.
Perfect.
Yeah, it's like when you shove things into a potato and it's got electricity.
It's just... Like, I don't know when I found out Edison was a piece of shit. I feel like it was some sort of cartoon filled me in.
Interesting enough, the Cypher book, Wizard, the book about Tesla,
which you have a review for on nerdyshow.com,
did not put Edison in a poor light.
But didn't he just go around, like, frying animals in the park? He's like, here's
the
a corpse.
Current wars.
I mean, he also backed,
He's like, this is what electricity does to animals. And he just was cooking animals in the park. And
no, it's what alternating current does. It's not what safe, reliable, direct current does.
Right.
You guys should expand on this. I mean, I'm familiar with it, but this is a great story.
Oh,
about...
Yeah. So at the same time that Edison had already presented to the world direct current, it's the way to go, Tesla for a while then had been developing the concept of alternating current, going, no, this is the way. This is superior. This is more efficient. And when he started working with Westinghouse to kind of monetize it, Edison went, okay, so this is something that is a direct competition. How can I defame it in the people's eyes? So he worked with another guy who would go around and electrocute animals publicly.
Using alternating current. Like, look what his current does. It kills your family pet.
This was after one of the first commercial uses of alternating current as the first electric chair.
Good invention, by the way. One of my favorites.
Also, Edison, big friend with Henry Ford, huge Nazi sympathizer.
Awesome. What a great guy. Wow. I know. Yeah. I think Ford
had all kinds of weird dealings with the Nazis. He was very anti-Semitic, and Ford and Edison were good buddies.
Are you saying there's Nazi ghosts in my Ford F-150?
Possibly. Yes, that's exactly what I'm saying.
Are you saying that there's going to be a team-up issue where Edison teams up with Ford and, you know, a bunch of Nazi characters,
it's gonna be just like Last Crusade, where Indiana Jones is like, what, you're all Nazis? And Thomas Edison's like, didn't I tell you not to trust anyone, Atomic Robo?
Man, this shit writes itself, Ryan.
I know.
One of the biggest tragedies in Tesla's life was
the thing with the pigeon.
That led to the thing with the pigeon.
That thing made me cry.
Is everyone stealing his work?
Oh, yeah.
Which is what Thomas Edison did for a living.
Most prominently, Marconi. Marconi was the one who always made a living off of Tesla's patents. Edison pretty much bankrolled him, because by being in Marconi's corner, he fought Tesla. But it's ridiculous. He fought Tesla with someone who used Tesla's ideas.
Hmm. Also Marconi, huge evil fascist jackass.
Well, this is all the basis of
Mussolini was I forget which way it is. Either Mussolini was the best man at Marconi's wedding, or it's the other way around.
Wow.
I think it was the other way around. I think Marconi was at Mussolini's wedding.
Either way,
yeah.
Fascist jackass.
Dude, you've got a rogues gallery right here.
I know, it's great. I mean, this is why I'm doing all kinds of research all the time. It's like, oh, free writing. I can just, there, done. I'll highlight a Wikipedia page, put in page one, page two, page three, done.
Copy paste.
I mean, the Five Fists of Science, which was an amazing book by
Fraction,
that pretty much had Tesla teaming up with Samuel Clemens, Mark Twain. The only thing that I kind of felt character-wise was unbelievable was Marconi was kind of a victim. I'm like, no! There's one thing Marconi wasn't. It was a victim. Like, he was being played by the other more menacing characters. Like, no, Marconi was just as conniving as the rest of them.
Yeah. I think he took something like 17 of Nikola Tesla's patents, and that's how he made the radio.
Yeah. Literally. Like,
son of a bitch.
Like, no, Tesla was years ahead of everyone for wireless technology, for radio.
Yeah.
And he completely missed it, because at that point he had just burned everyone. He was seen as the mad scientist, so when he had an idea, everyone was like, no, you're stupid. But the moment someone else has the idea, you're like, hey, that's brilliant, why don't we do that? And Tesla goes, but a year ago, I was saying...
I had the idea first. So what you're telling me is that it's a good thing I didn't pay attention to any of my history shit back in school. Because everything they were trying to teach me originally ends up being bullshit.
Elementary, middle school, high school,
yes.
College...
It depends on the high school.
You know, Christopher Columbus was a genocidal maniac.
He discovered America. He sailed to Florida and discovered Plymouth Rock. That's what my school told me. Christopher Columbus discovered Plymouth Rock.
There was a whole children's book. And then
Pocahontas was there.
Yes, and there was a baby born on the Mayflower.
Thomas Edison invented electricity. He didn't utilize it. He didn't discover it. He invented it.
He made
clouds have lightning. He invented that shit.
There was a whole thing with the kite and the key and, like, electrocuting his children with lightning bolts. And
he invented lightning bolts.
He stole Zeus's lightning bolts.
This is what I learned from school, by the way.
Like, Prometheus stole the fire.
So, long story short, Thomas Edison equal douche.
Let's talk about how wrong it really was what he was doing with the current wars in the first place.
Yes,
because
please.
He was businessly invested in direct current, that was like his sole motivator.
Right.
Scientifically speaking, you cannot move direct current that far with low loss. Alternating current, you can span hundreds of miles with almost no loss to actual energy at all. Direct current, you need a power plant every couple of blocks to be able to supply
energy.
But
in his defense, when you are buddies with power plant contractors and builders, that is a great business to be running.
Oh, yes, it is. So, I mean, that just winds up being, like, how insane it is. Here's a man sort of, you know, portrayed as being of science, and he's completely going clear fuck the other way. And turning his back on everything and being like, yep, no, this is horrible, it's going to kill you, and the elephant named Topsy, We're gonna use that to like.
They did electrocute an elephant, right? That actually happened.
Yeah, that actually happened.
You can still find the footage online.
Yeah, if you want to see an absolute picture child of animal cruelty, well, despite the fact that it's a murderous elephant, but yeah, there you go.
I think one of the things.
Wait, there was a murderous elephant.
Yeah.
Yes. It killed
another
a couple
rogue
of guys.
Right there. Another rogue for the crew.
Topsy okay. killer elephant. Topsy.
I'm gonna drop a crazy bomb on you. Dr. Dinosaur might not be the only dinosaur.
Oh shit. I hope he's got a woman. A pink
one of them,
dinosaur.
One of the potential characters would be Triceratops PhD. It was just an ordinary Triceratops with a pair of glasses.
he can't even speak. He's just ordinary Triceratops.
Yeah, he's a herbivore. He just hangs out.
Does he wear a lab coat even though he doesn't know how it got there because he doesn't speak English or anything?
No, that would be a different character.
But I'm loving it. Topsy the electric elephant.
Brachiosaurus OBGYN.
I think Topsy the electric elephant can, you know, it's a murderous elephant that shoots lightning from its tusks. Done.
That sounds like a Ghostbusters villain.
It is. It is now.
Well, drop some current science on us, John. What's new?
Oh, I get it current, because it's
interesting. Oh, I wasn't doing that, but I see what you did. Oh, right. Sorry, what's up?
Let's see. We've got some people pushing Asimov's law, basically. They've got a robot just beating people over and over again, punching them, to determine their pain threshold based on acceleration and that kind of stuff.
Wait, is this volunteer beatings? Or do they just go into prisons and be like, you're getting beaten by this robot?
Oh,
like, why? I thought I was in here for life. Don't beat me with a robot.
Just, what they need to do
from the school
is they need to arrest these robots and send them to prison for beating people. Then the robot is programmed to become the top dog in prison by beating people because it is not possible to rape a robot because they did not give him an anus.
I can rape a robot. I can rape any.
Well, this robot feels no emotion.
It's going to feel emotion when I'm done with this.
I have a very important question. What else?
What's the deal with this for real, John?
The reason why they're doing it and that it's ethical, so to speak, is they're basically trying to figure out, like, okay, three laws, right? Don't harm humans. Well, you know, you can still bump into them, right? Well, what about a little bit harder? What about, you know, at what point in time does it actually become like, okay, you're actually hurting this person.
Oh.
You're an asshole.
Well, wouldn't it be different for everyone?
So they're hurting people
well,
in
yes,
order to...
Well, yes, and that was actually one of the objections to it, that another scientist was like, well, pain is subjective. I mean, of course, that really doesn't help
people.
Yeah,
some
people
like pain. What if you want a robot to punch you?
I think there's still a logical range, you know?
Yeah. Well, you're going to have your upper and lower limits of pain and what's a good idea.
What they need to do is they need to have robots that rock babies to sleep. And to test these robots need to grab babies' heads and squeeze them as hard as possible. And if,
well, there's
and
also
the first
stuff
time
about
that a baby's head doesn't explode is that's the right pressure setting. That's the robot we can use to
I
rock
think that's
babies
a better
to
test
sleep.
Than just punching random people.
Yeah.
Babies' heads, they don't explode. They just change the shape. You know?
And sometimes...
Science.
And sometimes gray matter comes out of their ears, but they're still okay.
Whatever, man.
They didn't need it. I mean, obviously.
The one that keeps the baby's head the most the same.
The most spherical. Wild.
Yeah.
It's good that you brought up babies. Because as I understand it, there have been some recent tests with babies and robots.
Yes.
Like relationship?
I was making a joke.
No, you weren't. That was a really good lead in there.
Oh,
too bad.
Awesome. Go. Let's go with it.
So... babies and robots. You get a robot, you play a little game with it in front of a baby, and all of a sudden the baby's like, holy shit, that's an actual real live living thing, and then it'll actually follow its gaze around. And so a robot looks at a toy, the baby looks at a toy, and then looks at the robot's eyes and back and forth.
Were you just, how cute is this robot? How big are its eyes? Is it like Wall-E cute?
It's got Disney eyes.
Sort of
it's
humanoid.
It's Warbot.
What just happened?
He said Warbot.
Yeah. Oh, God.
It's a big cube with one eye. And it's like, the baby's like, Mama! And the robot's just like...
Crush.
Well, as an extension of this research, if Warbot behaved in a social manner and other people interacted with the baby, probably would perceive it as being alive.
That's a stupid
ass
baby.
Yeah, it doesn't know any better. It doesn't know that there's no soul.
Well, you're just describing a Roomba, because if you leave a Roomba in a room with a baby, the baby's going to start following that shit around.
Yeah.
Like it's a living thing.
No, so you just tell me I glued two googly eyes to a Roomba?
No more baby.
Circle disc cleaned my floor. Yay.
Roomba is the winner.
Actually... That reminds me. Some of the research I was doing earlier, it was into Project Orion, which is this crazy nuclear-powered...
Oh, my God, I love it.
Oh, yes, it's amazing. But well,
please, guys, tell us what it is.
Yeah, what is this amazing. Project Orion?
Okay, in short, you know how the Enterprise has this really elegant warp drive and everything's really cool?
Yeah.
This is like that, only it shits atomic bombs. And the explosion pushes it forward.
Oh!
Did you say it shits atomic bombs?
Yeah.
Yes,
it does.
You literally poop bombs out the back of the ship, the bombs explode, and the explosion wave pushes the ship forward. You can accelerate to like 10% the speed of light.
That sounds kind of dangerous.
That sounds awesome, but please do it out of our solar system.
Yeah. Why does it not destroy the ship?
Just not in my backyard. That's all I care. I don't want Pluto to be sent rocketing towards Earth.
So this is a real project they've been working on?
Yeah, this was a real thing they did research in the late 50s, early 60s. It was put to bed, as it were, when they signed the partial test ban treaty, because you couldn't set off nukes above the surface, and that's all this is. It's just a giant nuke machine.
And that's also backed up with the International Space Treaty.
Yes.
Why do we have a treaty in space?
But I say, let's bring it back.
Hell yeah.
Because 10% the speed of light is fast.
It is really fast.
How does this tie in with the Roomba?
It ties with the Roomba because... had we pursued this technology, there would have been no push for the miniaturization of electronics because there was no concern for weight. You could build a Project Orion craft. In fact, the bigger it was, the heavier it was, the better, because then it could load in more bombs and it could take more punishment and so on. Modern chemically propelled rockets, you need to reduce weight like crazy because there's, you know, relative to atomic reactions, very little energy in the chemicals. So, you know, you had to push for the miniaturization of electronics and faster processor speeds. Had we gone with Orion, that would not have happened. So if we had Roombas in the Orion future, it would be the size of a refrigerator, and yes, it would devour your child.
Now, that is my kind of logic. Yeah.
So what were the upper limits for these ships that they were going to make?
In theory, it's hard to say. They worked out the math for ships that weighed in excess of 8 million tons.
That's nothing. That's not even a state. It's not even
no, that's about the size of a small city.
That's a fucking Star Destroyer.
So wait, you're saying if they stayed with this technology, we would be exploring space for like the past 50 years?
Yeah.
Oh, at least Mars.
The entire... Venus would be colonized, Mars would be colonized, the Moon would be colonized, most of the Jovian and Saturnian moons would be colonized.
And then we'd have actual manholes on Venus.
However, everything would be steampunk, blown out of proportion, pollutants everywhere, like, everything has to be gigantic to work because nothing would be small.
I would love that.
Yes.
Nothing works now.
I would have been a world for Hex!
Yeah, doors the size of Hex.
Yes! Fuck this small iPod! I want a suit!
Yeah. You got your phone.
The size of a suitcase.
Talking about space, though, they just made new spacesuits, flight suits, that actually tug on the body to simulate gravity to get around the whole, like, losing 1-2% of your bone mass per month in space.
Oh, that's awesome.
That's super amazing.
Is that made by NASA or the Virgin Mobile people?
NASA. Okay. They look kind of stupid right now, though, like Farmer John's. And they also need a little bit of rework on the lower body part.
Yeah, there's I saw a picture of this. And we're going to have it posted on Nerdyship. There's one that's kind of like transparent men garments.
Relevant.
But what's cool about this, what John explained to me earlier, is that because it hugs the skin and everything, as soon as they tweak the designs and all that, essentially, the astronauts are going to be wearing what we've come to understand as superhero costumes.
True story.
Relevant. And it makes me buff?
Yes.
So, what? I used to watch Dragon Ball Z, right?
He used to
train in extreme gravity to get more muscles, because when you're Saiyan, that's what you do.
All right. I'm just gonna cut forward on this conversation. Mike, the answer is yes.
Yes! So if I wear this suit, I get yellow spiky hair and a monkey tail.
Yes.
OMGs.
So I wanted to hop in real quick. I got this fancy DVR working. And I was able to...
Welcome to the present.
Perhaps 2005.
I was able to catch episode 2 and rewatch episode 1 of Bad Universe.
Oh, cool.
And it is, like, the second one... The first one, like I said, was about asteroids. Mm-hmm. The second one is about aliens. How likely is an alien attack? And,
it happens all the
real
time.
Real quick, just a quick diversion. In the Orion future, your DVR would be the size of a microwave, and your microwave would be the size of a king-sized bed.
It's a beautiful future.
What have we done to ourselves? Think of what could have been.
But how big will your king-size
bed
be?
Oh, what can be?
It's still be a king-size bed.
Your king-size bed is a cot to make room for the microwave. That you sleep next to.
You sleep in the closet standing up because that's all there is.
You know those Japanese hotels where you sleep in a tube?
Yeah, I love those.
That's your house.
Oh my god, that's amazing.
That's your whole house is the tube.
Oh.
The conclusion of the episode was that our first impact with aliens would probably be robot drones sent by them. Because do we go to a planet first, or do we send robots first? We send miscellaneous animals first.
Yeah, unless you're Russians, or when you send monkeys and dogs.
Oh god, they're gonna send Crypto the super dog, and what? he's gonna get hit by the yellow sunlight, and he's just gonna tear everything up.
No, what's gonna happen one day?
Mad dog can fly and shoot eyes from the
A weird metal object's gonna crash in the earth one day, and there's just gonna be a dead animal in it, and that's all that's gonna happen.
It's gonna be full of space disease,
and that's where AIDS came from.
Yeah,
they did talk about how like there is actual life on Mars. It's little microbes
It's a David Bowie song.
And the whole idea
Who played Nikolai Tesla in The Prestige.
Oh my god, full circle.
Full circle. And so they talked about what if there was the whole alien virus invasion. And the biggest evidence of that's not going to happen is it hasn't happened yet. And we've been around for millions of years.
Yeah, like we get pelted with like a Mars rock here and there, right?
Yeah.
And
if we were going to die of any, like if a meteorite came, the thing that would kill us would be the meteorite.
What if we're the aliens and we landed here because we're looking for a new home and decided to start all over and get rid of all of our technology somehow?
Shoot it into the sun. Well, shoot it into the sun.
Or just leave it.
In Cosmos, Sagan actually kind of suggested that maybe a reason why there was that spark of life is because a meteor with extraterrestrial life landed here and got into the mix of things.
The right ingredients.
Much more likely, to my mind, is that it's just like 40K, and the Empire of Man has stretched all across the galaxy, and we're just one of those colonies that, since the Dark Ages of Man, has lost contact with the greater galactic infrastructure. And one day, we will be visited by gigantic alien bugs that will nearly destroy everything, and we will be saved by giant men in tank suits.
I agree.
Sounds good to me.
But on the topic of robots, bring on the men. The show kind of ended like, well, if a robot's going to be going for light years, how is it going to get here if it's just going to degrade over the time? Well, it would be a robot that would have to be able to be self-replicating. And that's when he visited the MakerBot headquarters over in San Francisco to go.
He went to the Bot Cave?
Yeah.
Is it really called
Bot Cave?
Wait,
aren't they in New York City?
No, I thought there's one in San Francisco.
I mean, the main one's in New York, so.
Oh, it might have been the one in New York.
God, they're already replicating.
Oh my god, they have multiple places. They're taking over.
But basically, they went in and he showed a machine that builds itself.
Is it like big or is it like small?
It's table.
How big would it be in the Orion?
Brandon,
timeline?
There's one on my desk.
It would be the size of the Empire State Building.
What'd you say, John?
There's one on my desk in my lab.
Why do you have one of these replicants?
It just showed up
would
one day.
Would you throw it in the fireplace real quick?
Yeah, there you go. It just showed up one day. It,
now,
you know,
I was wondering,
like
one showed up on my toilet
guys,
one day.
I think John isn't real anymore.
Now I
think he's one of them.
What if we have a neighboring alien race in some other solar system who gets here using technology similar to the Orion Project, and they don't even realize we're here. They just kind
just
of
passing by.
They just kind of
just
nuke past
hey,
us.
One word: tank suits. Warhammer 40K.
Oh God, you're right. I keep forgetting about that.
What future do you think that was?
Mm. How about the future where they're all crazy Orion women?
How big are they? How big are those Orion women?
Snoo snoo.
Snoo snoo. Death by snoo snoo.
I need to be able to fit my entire body in a vagina. Entire.
That can be arranged.
Entire body.
Somehow.
I wondered who that porn was for. That porn is for you, Brandon.
It is for me. I'm not small enough yet. I'm getting there.
Because I'm into a lot of porn, and I was like, this one just doesn't do it for me. Who's it for?
All right, let's move on.
Please.
I don't
know how that happened.
So, there were a lot of amazing Halloween tracks. I was not able to catch them all. One of them was a phenomenal Insane Ian track. It's called We're All Gonna Die, and it features Devo Spice and Schaefer the Dark Lord.
Awesome.
And I wanted to play it, but it released this day after we recorded Nerdy Show Prime. I'm like, I can't.
Well, hey, since we're playing a spooky track, let's play a spooky track about Thomas Edison as well, because They Might Be Giants recorded a track about Thomas Edison's lab being haunted.
Cool.
I believe it's called the Edison Museum.
Play me some goddamn music.
The Edison Museum, not open to the public. Its haunted towers rise into the clouds above it. Folks drive in from out of town to gaze in amazement when they see it. Just outside the gate, I look into the courtyard. Underneath the gathering thunderstorm, through the iron bars, I see the Black Mariah revolving slowly on its platform. In the topmost tower, a light burns dim, a coiling filament glowing within. The Edison Museum, once a bustling factory, today's but a darkened cobweb-covered hive of industry. The tallest, widest, and most famous haunted mansion in New Jersey. Behind a wooden door, the voice of Thomas Alva recites a poem on a phonograph. Ghosts float up the stair like silent moving pictures, the loyal phantoms of his in-house staff. A wondrous place it is, there can be no doubt. But no one ever goes in, and no one ever goes out. So when your children quarrel, and nothing seems to quell them, just tell them that you'll take them to the Edison Museum, the largest independently owned and operated mausoleum.
Hello? Is there anyone in here? It's so dark. Sarah? Steven? Where'd you guys go? Maybe down this dimly lit pathway to the basement. Are you guys messing around? Why is the floor so sticky? Oh, I can't see anything. Oh, man. Not again. Holy crap, you guys. Are you all okay? Who the fuck this field trip would turn out this way? When we left today for this factory, never thought this would be our final resting place. You know, we were so surprised when we found this place was built on ancient burial ground. But the teacher didn't really seem to fear when couples from our group began to disappear. First Greg and Peg both vanished together. Then Alfred was gone, quickly followed by Heather. Just heard Sarah and Steven starting to shout. They had just run off to go make out. I'm only still alive because I'm still a virgin. The killer chopped them up like he's some kind of surgeon. It's like their body parts way up on a shelf. Oops, I think I just sold myself.
Oh my god, we're wrong.
Everybody, let's all calm down. Everything is gonna be alright. But right now, we need a leader, and it ought to be me. Cause after all, I'm the captain of the football team. I outrank you all. So what's the situation? Emily's dead. A psychopath took a weed whacker to her head. We're trapped inside a house, and there's a killer coming at us. Hang on, let me post it on my Facebook status. We need to find weapons. Everybody look around. If we split up into teams, then we can cover more ground. You two go upstairs. If you need me, send a text. I'll be here with the hot cheerleader having sex. Insert obligatory nude scene here. That was great. Nice rap. Hey, you got any beer? Yeah, you go freshen up. I'll be here when you get back. Hey, what was that?
Now you're even better in the sack.
Oh my god, we're wrong gonna die. Oh my god, we're wrong gonna die. Eternity and Myra, here's a prize. Another choice, great glass, another size. What did we do to deserve this? Little friends, tell us now, maybe we can make amends. Is there anyone willing to defend this cute chicken that she needs to push the men?
Take on the killer absurd. I must admit, a hunky hero's visceral scene. A cold chill and a scream reveal the killer is me. A chainsaw in one hand, machete in the other, in a mask and coveralls all bloodily covered in the guts of your friends. You're realizing it then that historically the last means the gory is dead. I get your neck in my grasp as you grab at my mask, and the last bullet's away from my face as you gasp. It's you! Yeah, it's me, and it was all along. Your creepy outcast classmate never invited along. Join in the fun of this field trip or any other. So I got my revenge and built a shrine to my mother. And now you're gonna die too, like all of the rest. Could stick an axe in your face or punch a hole through your chest, or chop you in half watching every drop of you drain. You've got the body, I've got the brain.
Oh my god, we're all gonna die. Oh my god, we're all gonna die. Let it go, you can save me from the sky. Maybe I'll let you in between my thighs. Please tell me you thought you'd bring a gun, or you know an escape route we can run. You say weapons, you've got not a one. I think this time we surely must be done.
The game's at an end, it looks like we're screwed. To get chopped up by some mask-wearing dude. But I look at the chick, my hope's been renewed. I'm not gonna die before I've touched a boob. You got me by the neck, everything's going black. I reach in my backpack for something to attack. I rummage around, at your face I will claw, till I find the missing gypsy's voodoo doll. I speak the magic words that the old woman taught me, and never again will you come back to haunt me. I banish your soul, I send you to hell. And for extra measure, I kick you as well. It looks like I've won, I'm the hero revered. No one seems to see the killer's body disappeared, and I got the girl. To me there is no equal.
That's okay, kid, I'll just kill you in a sequel.
Hi, this is Christopher Lambert. I want to thank you for listening to this week's episode of Nerdy Show. Nerdy Show is brought to you by a comic shop, Nerdapalooza, and the Oviedo branch of Play and Trade. If you have questions or comments, please feel free to send them to info@nerdyshow.com. You can subscribe to all Nerdy Show podcasts via the iTunes Store. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter @NerdyShow or friend us on Facebook. If you enjoyed what you heard, support Nerdy Show by telling a friend, or better yet, giving your money by visiting the Nerdy Show, picking up a t-shirt, donate directly to the Nerdy Show for cool, nerdy perks. These guys know how to fight the soldiers of Outworld. They didn't ask you to come back to do Mortal Kombat 2. I'm not quite sure why. I would have done it for free. I don't know why they asked James Remar to play Raiden in Mortal Kombat 2 Annihilation. Hey, I stole your car from the party. Get over it.